Welcome back in, Robbie and Rexrow, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rexrow, Nick Keyser here with you on this Thursday morning. Ball's back in action this weekend in the NCAA tournament. It's been a pretty entertaining NCAA tournament thus far. And to help us talk more about that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in Dana O'Neill from The Athletic, who covers college basketball. Dana, good morning. How are you?
I am doing great. I'm sitting here staring at the Detroit skyline, so all is good. I've made it.
Well, Rex Road also staring at the Detroit skyline. It's a big time. He's excited about some Tim Hortons later, I think.
There you go.
Oh, yeah.
At the high bar.
No question about it. So, Dana, we've got a lot to get into with you. I want to start with Kentucky because we were discussing this a little bit earlier in the show. John Calipari will be back next year. Mm-hmm. Obviously, when they got beat by Oakland, a lot of reaction from that fan base. So what do you make, number one, of the decision for Kentucky to bring Calipari back? And number two, where that program, that fan base currently sits with him at the helm?
Well, I mean, I think the decision to bring him back is like there's 33 million reasons that they're bringing him back, frankly. It's he's got that massive buyout. You know, Mitch Barnhart gave him a lifetime contract. So, you know, there's a lot of people that you can label as the culprits in a lot of this, but a lot of it falls on Mitch Barnhart's lap. He made that deal. He agreed to a lifetime contract, and he can't get out of it right now. Nobody's willing to fork over $33 million. They want to get rid of him, but maybe not that much. So, you know, I think people look at the fan base and think they're outrageous because they've won a lot of games and they made the tournament, but it's Kentucky. The bar is different, and John Calipari knows that better than anybody else, and he has not met it. There's no other way to say it. If you look around the NBA and look at the number of talented players that he's put in the league and then look at what they have done, and it's not just the losses. They've won one national championship. That's not enough. It's not enough at Kentucky. So I'll be very curious to see going forward, you know, what happens. Does he mix up his staff? Does he change up his offense? What does he do? You know, I think part of John's problem sometimes is he kind of chases after the shiny penny. He was all in on one and duds. Now he's all in on transfers. And I look around the Sweet 16, and most of the teams that have made it this far have a couple of really good transfers, but they're mostly players that are homegrown. That's how you win. If you look at who's won national championships, that's how you win. It hasn't changed. So he's got to just pick a lane and stick to it a little bit, I think.
No, that's a great point. Of course, here, Dana, in Detroit, look, I picked Purdue going into the year, and I'm sticking with it. I've seen nothing, although UConn looks frightening also. But I really think Purdue has a great chance to win it. But I also, I mean, I think Tennessee-Purdue could be an amazing game. And these are two coaches who, of course, you know, the tournament history is a huge part of the story. First of all, just for both of those teams and coaches, how do you assess them right now going to this weekend?
Yeah, I mean, they both kind of carry that same mantle. And, you know, I've been doing like a lot of – I'm doing an all-access with Purdue, so I spent a lot of time with Matt Painter. And we've had that conversation. I'm actually anxious to talk to Mark Few today at Gonzaga because I remember when Mark Few's program was a nice little program, but they weren't good enough to make the Final Four. Or when Villanova was a nice little program, but they couldn't get out of the first round. So now, you know, Rick Barnes can't win at all. Matt Painter can't get to the Final Four. And, look, they haven't. I mean, the narrative is not inaccurate. They have not made it. For lots of reasons. So I think there's a lot of pressure on both of these guys to produce this year. I really do. You know, it's just there comes a time where getting in isn't enough. Some places it is. And right now, both of these teams need to figure out a way to get out of here this weekend. They both can't. Of course, something has to give. But they both face that equal pressure to figure it out.
So, Dana, Tennessee matched up against Creighton. Yep. How do you view that matchup starting tomorrow night here up there in Detroit? And what do you make of kind of Tennessee's chances with the roster that they put together, obviously, with Dalton Connect leading the way?
Yeah, Dalton Connect's been fabulous. I mean, what a crazy story that is. You know, I've watched a lot of Creighton because I've seen a lot of Big East. I was at the Big East tournament. I think they're really good. I think they play really smart. They're not going to beat themselves. I have not been like, whoa, that's a national championship team once looking at them. They shoot the ball exceptionally well. So obviously, you know, guarding that 3-point line is going to be huge. You know, Kalkbrenner's ability to stretch things out there makes it a challenge for anybody. But I do also look at the backcourt and in terms of like you know, Rigger, Trey Alexander is great, don't get me wrong, but I just feel like defensively Tennessee can probably get them out of sorts more easily than Creighton can get Tennessee out of sorts. That's just what my gut tells me. So, you know, I'll see if I'm right about that, but I just think the pressure that Tekkai Ziegler, you know, and company can put on Creighton's backcourt, I think that's a game changer. I really do.
Yeah, I think the matchups are definitely Tennessee's favorite. Although, you know, Kalkbrenner is definitely, you know, Jonas Adu has to play well, but I'm with you. Yeah, I think that Tennessee can be really disruptive. Well, we talked a lot about different SEC teams, Dana. How about the SEC commissioner? I mean, we have to get to that, right? he's taken a few shots here recently, and I mean, frankly, I think they're all deserved. But you had the story recently about the latest on, you know, the tournament expansion and what it might look like. Are you concerned? Like, do you think that Greg Sankey has this? Because I've talked to some people who are like, yeah, I think he just wants a separate tournament at some point. I still don't know that I necessarily buy that, but. How concerned are you, I guess, with what he wants and where things are going here with this tournament?
Yeah, it's funny because, like, I don't know that we're there yet to a separate tournament, but I do feel like there's a lot of people that are running around afraid that the threat of this, you know, of the SEC, of the Big Ten saying, well, we're going to go do our own thing is why everyone's reacting the way they are. Okay, well, we'll rewrite the NIT, even though none of your teams are going to take a bid. We're going to rewrite the NIT rules for you. Now we're going to expand the tournament and, you know, get teams in that probably don't belong in here and avoid things. And then we're going to look at how the automatic qualifier money is divided and all these things. And I to an extent, I understand the fear of it. But part of me is like, call their bluff. Like, honestly, call their bluff. I would think that, I mean, people... If you talk to people, you look on Twitter, whatever kind of measuring stick you want to go, there's nobody that I have met that's like, yeah, we need more crummy SEC teams in the NCAA tournament. Please bring it. So they want to go form their own tournament with like the ninth best SEC team versus the ninth best Big Ten team and think people are going to watch that? I disagree. And look at the numbers on the viewership for this NCAA tournament. They've been fantastic this weekend. People like it the way they are. So, I get the fear of their threat. I get that you feel like you have to kowtow to them. But at some point, I almost feel like it's like the recess yard bully. Stand up to him. Say, you know what? No, we disagree. There are 32 conferences out there, and 30 of them do not think this is necessary. So, no thank you. I'd be curious to see what happens.
Well, no, that's been my thing is like, I think maybe people are underrating how much fans of teams that are that bad don't want to watch them anymore. You know what I mean? Like Georgia exactly. Fans are like, nah, we're good. Yeah. I don't like this team. You know? I mean, bases, but yeah.
Did anybody actually want to see more of Virginia basketball this year? Absolutely, including Tony Bennett. No, they did not. No one was like, oh, dang, I wish they had won. I mean, so yeah. And again, like, I think if you just, you look at the numbers and the viewership and you talk to fans, like nobody really is crying that, you know, people cry, of course, that their team didn't get in, but this year people are crying over Indiana State more than anything.
Yes.
You know, that's the cry. So I don't know. I just feel like it's going to take some conviction. I know it's a risk, but I really don't see how that becomes a watchable tournament when you have a bunch of crummy teams in it. It's basically like watching two conference tournaments. Like, what's the point? We already did that.
Dana, last thing for you here. I mean, if you look at the way this tournament has shaken out, NC State is really like the one super low seed that's found a way to get to this point in the Sweet 16. So what do you make of their run and their chances as they enter into play this weekend, taking on Marquette?
Oh, I mean, honestly, like you think about it, they are one banked in 3-point shot against Virginia in the ACC tournament that also rolled around the rim for about 25 seconds to not being here. It's unbelievable. Yep. But you know what? Like people talk about teams that start rolling downhill and how dangerous they are. I mean, there is something to be said for playing with house money. If NC State loses tomorrow, is anybody going to think that they failed? Absolutely not. Nobody's going to care. Whereas, you know, Marquette has, you know, struggled to get to this round. There's a lot of pressure on them. Do I think that they are going to win? Probably not. I think, you know, Marquette has looked pretty good. I think it's a big matchup. But, you know, DJ Burns is a problem. So legitimately, I mean, and it's funny, you know, the last time I saw DJ Burns, he was down with Rick Barnes in practice. Rick had made, as he does, one of those contraptions that he invents, having like to make Rick, make DJ's arm stay straight in an angle so he could shoot free throws. That's the last time I saw DJ Burns. so, you know, it's amazing, his story arc. Do I think they're going to win? Probably not. Would I be shocked? No. You know, this happens in this tournament. Somebody makes it to the Elite Eight, and we're like, oh, my God, what just happened here? I would give them a better shot than Clemson if I'm picking.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Well, Dana, great stuff as always. Really appreciate you taking time to join us this morning here on the show, and have fun this weekend. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, guys. Take care.
Thanks, Dana O'Neill from The Athletic, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Coming up next, it's time for the Rex Rant with Joe Rex Road. You can check it out every morning here on the program. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports will join us at 8 o'clock. All that coming up. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.